Hi, this is Andrew Davis, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak. This is episode 667 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, if you enjoyed the movie The Fugitive, The Guardian, Holes, Collateral Damage, Under Siege, just on and on. We've got the director, the man who made the movie, Andrew Davis, joining us here at On Screen and Beyond this week. And it's also the 30th anniversary of The Fugitive. Believe that or not, 30 years ago that movie came out. And Harrison Ford was in that, and Tommy Lee Jones. And the director was Andrew Davis, and he is joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. So get ready for that. That's coming up in a few minutes. And, I mean, Christmas is here, basically. You know, you may be listening to this after. I'm putting it out before, but maybe you're listening to it after. Things are busy, so people aren't listening, constantly. But hope you do tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond, and with Christmas gone by, probably, like you say, by the time you're listening to this, that, you can still get what you want. A On Screen and Beyond t-shirt, or an On Screen and Beyond mug, or a water bottle, or a glass, or t-shirt, or hoodie, or anything like that. You can still get it. You just won't have in time for Christmas, of course, but you can get it at onscreenandbeyond.com. There's a button that says On Screen and Beyond Merchandise. Click it right there, and you can go see what we've got. We've got three different designs. We have the original logo of On Screen and Beyond. We have the current new On Screen and Beyond logo with the blue burst background. And then just the On Screen and Beyond logo, the new one, with no background. So check them out and see what you think. There's all kinds of great stuff there. And if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas, get something there. If you're a fan of On Screen and Beyond, and you're a listener, like if you're over in Flushing, New York, we get a lot of listeners from Flushing, New York, listening to us, and in California, all kinds of people there, in LA, of course, and we've got other people who are listening all up and down, California, and different places around the world. We just thank you so much for listening, and we hope as we go into a new year here at On Screen and Beyond that you will keep listening and keep, telling friends and letting people know about On Screen and Beyond. You know, when you see us on Instagram or Facebook or X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, if you could just, share when we post something about who our guest is, that will help us a lot too. And we appreciate it. We keep trying to do this for you, and hopefully you'll do something for us by doing that, sharing it, and letting people know, more and more people. So anyways, I hope you had a great Christmas, or having a great Christmas, or going to have a great Christmas, whichever time you're listening to this episode. And it's just that time of year when everything is just fun. And Andrew Davis is going to be coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. But it is time for remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes, sequels, and prequels, Inside Out 2, June 14th will be in theaters. December 13th, 2024, it looks like Lord of the Rings, The War of, I got to get this right, Rohirrim, marches on to the big screen. Hope I said that right. And A Quiet Place Day One silently strolls into theaters on June 28th. November 8th, 2024, you can look for Venom 3 to come our way. Lady Gaga will play Harley Quinn on October 4th in theaters. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies on May 17th, If Heads Our Way, from writer-director John Krasinski. And it's about a girl who can see everyone's imaginary friends. It's going to be starring Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski. And it looks like Jenna Ortega will star in Miller's Girl. That's coming our way on January 26th. February 14th, Bob Marley, Our Love, arrives in theaters, and it tells the story of the music icon Bob Marley. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies on TV and DVD and streaming. It looks like The Marsh King's Daughter with Daisy Ridley comes our way on Blu-ray on January 2nd. January 16th, Journey to Bethlehem comes to DVD and Blu-ray. Billions, the final season, lands on DVD January 16th. Special Ops Lioness Season 1 kicks on to DVD and Blu-ray on January 23rd. And January 30th, Magnum P.I., the final season. This is the second Magnum P.I., not the original, okay? Just want to make sure you know that. And it's coming to DVD. That's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, TV and Entertainment Time.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Peter Truck on Screen and Beyond.
TV and Entertainment Time. Apple TV Plus has renewed Platonic for Season 2, and Max has dropped The Tourist, and Netflix has picked it up for Season 2, and it premieres on February 29th. And it looks like Dean Morris of Breaking Bad, you know, he was on that show, and he's arrived to join the cast of Season 4 of Law and Order Organized Crime. And Dean's a great actor. He's done so many different roles, so be sure to check that out. And that's it for TV and Entertainment Time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, Andrew Davis. He's the director of The Fugitive, The Guardian, Holes, Collateral Damage, Under Siege. There's a new 30th anniversary of The Fugitive that's coming out in 4K. Just so much stuff he's been doing. Stony Island was another movie he did. That was his first movie. That's just been released recently for 4K. Andrew's going to have a lot to talk about. He's coming up next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Today on Screen and Beyond, our guest has directed many films, including Stony Island, Code of Silence, Under Siege, Collateral Damage, Holes, and The Guardian. 30 years ago, he directed the film version of the classic TV show The Fugitive. Now, a 30th anniversary of The Fugitive, starring Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones in a 4K edition, is available. It's director Andrew Davis. Andrew, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, Andrew, does it seem like it was 30 years ago that you filmed The Fugitive?
Well, you know, it seems like yesterday and seems like a long time ago. So it's both, you know, because you know, it became a huge part of my life and my career, and I'm sort of known as the director of The Fugitive at this point. And then there's another generation, and they say, well, I don't know about that one, but I saw, did you see Holes? And oh, yeah, I saw Holes. So there are different films in your life that were different generations, you know.
Yeah.
But what's nice is there are a lot of young reviewers seeing the 30th anniversary version of this movie who didn't see it or saw it when they were young kids with their parents. So to have another generation appreciate your work is terrific. And then Stony Island, which is the 45th anniversary,
yes,
is a film that was really sort of the template for my career. If you look at Stony Island, it has a lot of the textures of The Fugitive and other films I shot in Chicago. And, you know, it's a very sort of hip movie about kids putting an R&B band together back in the 70s. So it's got a lot of colorful kids and great music and, you know, bell bottoms and afros and things like that.
Now, I saw some write-ups about, you know, because you see all kinds of reviews and things like that. Was that like a semi-biographical film, Stony Island?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, it was the story of my brother and I growing up in Chicago on the South Side. I had seen Mean Streets and American Graffiti, and, you know, and those directors did films about their growing up. And I thought, well, you know, my growing up was pretty darn interesting, so I decided to do a story about my brother, who was a white kid growing up in a black neighborhood, putting a band together. And in fact, it turned out to be his life, because he became a very well-known musician and has a very successful band in Chicago called the Chicago Cats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very much a part of my parents not moving when the neighborhood changed and starting to stay in that neighborhood. And I felt it was a very rich kind of background for a kid to grow up in.
Yeah. Now, that was your first film, but I hesitate to say first film because every director does films before the one that everybody knows them for. So had you done other, you know, smaller films? Of course, a lot of people start out directing with the, you know, horror movies or things like that. So was there anything before Stony Island?
Not as a director. I had shot maybe 14 films as a director of photography. I was a cameraman. I was a cinematographer.
Ah.
And I'd worked with a lot of young directors who had gone on after we worked on these low-budget films for Gene Corman, for mostly. and they couldn't hire us because we weren't in the union. And we were fighting to get in the union, and they didn't want us. They wanted us to start back on the bottom again. This is Caleb Deschanel and Alan Davio, Tak Fujimoto, myself. So I started a lawsuit to sue the unions and the studios for the discriminatory way they were handling their seniority roster. And in the interim, I said, you know, it's easier to be a director. I'm going to make my own movie. And that's how Stony Island came out. So it was really my first film. I partnered with a woman named Tamar Hoffs, who was a writer who had worked on a film I shot with Tony Curtis. And it turns out that her brother and my brother had both been kids on the South Side who fell in love with the old blues players, you know, with Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Buddy mm-hmm. Guy. And so we put a movie together about kids growing up and finding music from another culture and making it their own. And her daughter, Susanna Hoffs, was a production assistant, had a part in the movie. She was just starting her career as a musician and as a singer, and started the Bangles, you know, and all kinds of people were in that movie in the beginning of their career. Dennis Franz, who later became a big TV star.
And NYPD Taylor, Blue.
All kinds of people got their start. Tak Fujimoto, who was my assistant, shot the movie, and he became a very famous cinematographer. So it was a launching pad for a lot of people. It didn't get the attention it deserved at the time, even though it got incredible reviews. The reviews of Stony Island were as good as The Fugitive. I mean, they were incredible. But the film was sort of abandoned because of racism at the time. Black kids were going into white neighborhoods, and the theater owners didn't want black kids coming in. So they dropped the picture. They changed the name to My Main Man from Stony Island. And it wasn't a black exploitation film. It was a film about music being a common language.
Hmm.
So it's now getting a re-release, and it's wonderful because kids who knew nothing about this film see it and they go, wow, this is hip, man. This is great music, and you know, Ray Don Chong's in it. All kinds of really interesting people are in it. And it works as a really uplifting kind of tribute to an old sax player who's their mentor.
Yeah. Now, was it hard getting some of these musicians to be in the film? You know, did you have a did you approach them, or did you have a casting director? Or?
Well, basically, my brother Richie and his friend Stoney were the core of putting the band together in terms of the characters in the story. And I met a man named Gene Barge, who was a great producer, who had produced for Chess Records. He had been at Stax Records. And Gene was a real producer mentor, and he had just finished Natalie Cole's first album and had this great rhythm section in Chicago. And so he brought Larry Ball and Tennyson Stevens and Donnell Hagen, all these great musicians, and we put a band together in about 2 weeks, wrote a bunch of songs, and that's what the movie's about a struggling band putting a band together and writing their own material.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you musically inclined?
Well, I was in a couple bands in college, yeah. I taught my brother the guitar. You know, he's 11 years younger than I. I used to, you know, terrorize him playing the Twilight Zone theme, you know, when he was a kid. But Richie became a great musician on his own, and I've always loved music, and I've been very conscious of music. I get along well with most of the composers I've worked with, like James Newton Howard, who did an amazing job on the Fugitive score, because I have a sense of what things, how things work dramatically, and I can reference things, you know, mm-hmm. that should belong in the movie, either as needle drops or the kind of score it should be.
Yeah. But now, that Stony Island was 45 years ago, and it did get the release too, so re-released. Does that one feel like, you know, that 45 years ago? We're going to go a little bit further back than the Fugitive.
Yeah, and Holes was 20 years.
20 years, so wow.
So I'm able to, it's wonderful. So you have these children from different generations that you can still hold their hand, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. So getting back to the Fugitive, and you say you haunted your brother with the Twilight Zone theme song. Were you a fan of course, the Twilight Zone and The Fugitive too? The TV show?
I never really was that familiar with it. It was the 60s, and we were off doing other things in the 60s, you mm-hmm. know, like growing up and being involved in the civil rights movement or rock and roll, you know, and anti-war movement at that time, you know, mm-hmm. with the Vietnam. And so Harrison and Tommy and I did not sit home and watch The Fugitive. You know, we were aware there was a big show. And when I was offered the film, you know, I looked at a couple episodes of it, and I got the gist of the train crash and things like that. But, you know, we needed to make a standalone thriller, and we needed to come up with a plot and a motivation for what was going to happen that we had to create on the spot.
Yeah. Now, does that hang over your head, though, that, I mean, this is such a classic TV show? Are you, you know, trying to meet the expectations of the people who love the show, or are you just making your film and here it is?
Well, it's interesting because one of the best reviews I got was from the creator of the TV show, Roy Huggins, who loved the movie, who felt that we had done a really great job adapting, which is basically Les Miserables, you know, this classic tale of the unjustly accused man. And so, you know, I didn't feel like we had to satisfy the people, of course, who loved the show, as we did in Holes. We had to satisfy the people who loved the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, when you look at The Fugitive, there's a woman sitting behind Harrison during the trial who's the mother of the lead actor, David, what's his, David's last name? David Janssen's mother Janssen, is in the movie. David Janssen's mother is sitting behind Harrison in the movie.
Wow. Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Nobody does, really.
Yeah. She wasn't a famous actress, right, or anything like that.
No. We just let her be part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's a good way to do it. That's a good thing to do. Yeah. Now, working with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones, and I want to add that this film is quite a film because it was nominated for 7 Academy Awards too. So, you know, it's no slouch, that's for sure.
including Best Picture.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody expected that. I mean, nobody expected this. They thought it was going to be just another action thriller. And because it's got such heart and you care so much about the people, based upon the performances and the basic story, it really had resonance, you know. So it had a pace and a rhythm and a heart that reached a global audience and can, you know, it continues to play around the world every day. I mean, there's people watching The Fugitive still, and this new 4K Blu-ray is mind-boggling because it looks better and sounds better than it ever has.
Yeah, yeah. Now, had you worked with Harrison or Tommy Lee before this film?
Well, this was the third film with Tommy. We did a film called The Package with Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did Under Siege just before The Fugitive, which was a big hit for Warner Brothers. That was the basis of Harrison's Under Siege and said, let's get this guy to direct The Fugitive. So that's how that all came about. I hadn't worked with Harrison before.
Yeah. Now, looking over your career, Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal, Andy Garcia, Alan Arkin, Keanu Reeves, Morgan Freeman, Michael Douglas, Gwyneth Paltrow, Shia LaBeouf, Sigourney Weaver, and I could just keep going on, Kevin Costner, Ashton Kutcher. I mean, you have worked with Hollywood's top people.
Lucky guy, huh?
Wow. It's incredible. And all the action.
You mentioned John Turturro and John Leguizamo too.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many. I picked a few. I mean, it's just an amazing list of people that you've been able to work with.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent, and I'm on Screen and Beyond. God bless America.
Now, is there anybody in particular that you really enjoyed working with, to be working with this person?
Oh, many of them. Many of them. I mean, you know, Tommy Lee and I have had a special relationship. We've done really three movies together that I'm very proud of. I love working with Shia LaBeouf and Tim Blake Nelson and Voight and Sigourney and everybody. Andy Garcia, Alan Arkin was fantastic. I mean, I've enjoyed everybody I've worked with. You know, I haven't had a conflict with any of the talent. Hackman was a little rough. You know, I was a young director, and he was sort of crusty old guy, you know, but
yeah,
it worked out, you know. I've had a great time working with people. And, you know, my father was an actor. My father's an actor in Holes. He's Grandpa in Holes. He's the old guy.
Yes.
This is all because you're dirty, no rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandparents. That's my father. So I grew up around actors, and I appreciate them, and I understand their strengths and their insecurities.
Yeah. Is there anybody you haven't worked with that you'd really want to work with?
Oh, many, many, many. I'd love to work with Denzel and Jamie Foxx and Clooney and, you know, all kinds of people.
Yeah. Huh. So now you've done so many action thrillers, you know, are there any certain movies that is closest to your heart when you were making it?
You mean of my own movies?
Yeah, your own movies. What was, you know, are there any of the ones that you've made that, you know, this one was really something you thought this was the top notch, you know, working for you on the film?
Well, I have to say The Fugitive seemed to be the one that everybody went, wow, you know, that was the one that got the most attention, made the most money, got the most nominations, you know. But I'm proud of, almost all of them in one way or another. You know, you look back on how the hell did we pull this off? You know, how did we figure out how to do this? And how do we get, you know, the sets right and the studio to support us and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So they're all your children, you know, and you have great affection for them, and also the process, you know, of all the people who worked hard to get them done. I mean, The Guardian was really a monumental achievement in terms of trying to create the Bering Sea in a tank in Louisiana, you know.
Jeez. Yeah. Now, you know, these films that you've made, they're all multi-million dollar films that, you know, the budgets were big and everything. But you mentioned that, you know, how did we do this? Were there any things that you had to do? Because I've had a lot of directors on from, say, the 50s and 60s with the old sci-fi movies, you know, and they didn't have the technology they have now. And they still made you feel like, you know, if it was tiny people, and they were like giants, you know, and they were in this world and they had to do this to make you feel that you were really there. Did you come across any of that, even with the million-dollar budgets?
You mean the difficulty of creating a world that didn't exist, you mean?
Right, yeah.
Well, I would think that The Guardian was the most challenging, you know, to try to create an environment where you felt you were in the middle of a storm or at sea, mm-hmm. and have it be cold and scary. That was the biggest challenge of all of them. The most digital work that I ever did in a movie. The Fugitive only had two or three they didn't have digital shots in those days. They did rear projection. So everything else has been sort of real, and that's sort of the way I like to work, is to keep it as real as possible.
Yeah.
And Holes had some sort of extraterrestrial kind of qualities to it, you know, with the lizards. We had mm-hmm. to create those lizards and animate some of them, and trying to figure out how to make that landscape of look like it had all those holes dug was another challenge, you know.
Yeah.
So those are I think the last two movies, you know, had the most visual effects that I was involved with. But I think, you know, using Chicago as a background in many of my films, or New York and A Perfect Murder, you know, and keeping it real and using the city as a character is sort of one of the things I like to do.
Yeah. Are there any projects that you have going on now? Are there anything new that you've got in the works that you can tell us about?
Well, I'm trying to get a movie called Silver's Gold off the ground. I've got to find a leading man to do it. It's a remake of Treasure Island set in Louisiana, a contemporary version of Treasure Island set in Louisiana, sort of like Holes with the treasure of Jean Lafitte, the famous pirate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm very excited about that. And I've wrote a novel called The Disturbing the Bones, which is coming out next summer, another thriller that will be available. And I hope to make a movie out of that. And I'm working on a Gene Wilder novel, adapting that into a movie. So I'm quite busy with all that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Now that strike's over, you can actually have some movement forward, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I just want to finish up with one final question. But before we go into that, people should definitely go out and watch The Fugitive, because and get the 4K edition of it. Like you said, it's...
And go and watch Stony Island, because there's a great documentary called The Making of Stony Island. If you go to my website, andrewdavisfilms.com, you can watch the making of Stony Island, which is the whole backstory, and then watch the film, because I think it would be very rewarding for people. It's available on all kinds of platforms, including my website. And so I'm very grateful that Freestyle Releasing has put that out there.
Yeah, great. Jeez. It's good to see, you know, your huge films and then your starting out film, because you go back and you can see, you know, how you've developed and changed or not changed, you know. It's just a fascinating.
Well, if you watch Stony Island, you'll see a lot of the textures of The Fugitive.
Oh, really?
Film.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what I was going to ask you about the train crash. Was that digitally done, you know, with visual effects, or how did you?
There were two shots in that. The train really did crash. It really did bang into all those things, and it was really laying there. There's a cut of Harrison jumping off the bus that was done with rear projection, and a couple other cuts of the train uncoupling. But other than that, it's real. When he's running along those tracks, that's the real deal.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the final question is, when you sit back and relax, what are your favorite TV shows and what's your favorite movies now out of the past?
Wow.
What do you enjoy and what are you watching now?
Well, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV in terms of dramatic stuff. I think because I was so into the business, you know,
mm-hmm.
I rather watched real stuff. I watch Frontline. I watch Point of View. I watch American Masters. I watch 60 Minutes. I watch real gritty documentaries. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of movies, I saw a movie the other day called Origin by Ava DuVernay, which blew my mind. It's coming out this in a couple of weeks. A fantastic movie based upon an award-winning book about you know, creed and about the status of different tribes in the world and how they racism and all that stuff. And she took this dramatic sort of she took this nonfiction book and turned it into an amazing movie. So I recommend everybody see that. In terms of my the past, what were the things that really knocked me out? Oh boy, you know, I was very involved. I thought French Connection was a great movie. The Battle of Algiers. The Immigrants, filmed by Jan Troell about Swedish immigration back then. The great French directors I liked, you know, their work. Fellini, those kind of things were the things that were the base. Sidney Lumet and Norman Jewison were two of the directors that I really appreciated. And of course, Haskell Wexler was my mentor. I worked on Medium Cool. And all of his work as both a cinematographer and a director was very impressive to me. There's a kid in Stony Island by the name of Harold based upon the Haskell's Medium Cool.
Wow.
So those are, you know, watch the films of Jewison, watch the films of Sidney Lumet.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. And, you know, people, like I say, should be watching Stony Island and The Fugitive, their new releases in 4K. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan.
And a big shout out going to Andrew Davis for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond, the director of The Fugitive, which is out on 30th anniversary 4K right now. And be sure to check that out. He also, he's done decades of movies that he's, you know, people have grown up with. The Guardian with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher, and Holes with Shia LaBeouf, and Collateral Damage with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just so many things he's done, and he's just a great guest. Thank you for joining us, Andrew, and we'll have more guests coming your way right here on Screen and Beyond as we take a break here. Now, we're going to take a week off. Then we'll come back at the beginning of the year, and we'll give you a new episode of On Screen and Beyond. So instead of 2 weeks, like I thought, we're only taking 1 week, and we'll have more guests coming your way. Have a suggestion, email it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. Tell a friend, please. Help us out. I know I always say that, but that's what keeps us going. The more listeners we have, the more people we can get on here at On Screen and Beyond, because that's the way it works, you know. They want to go on shows that have people who are listening. And it's thanks to you that I can get more people here at On Screen and Beyond. And so keep telling your friends, get more people on here, download more episodes. That's a big thing. The more people that are downloading, the more episodes that are downloaded, the more chance we're going to get more guests here at On Screen and Beyond. So please do that for the new year, and hope everybody has a great new year coming up next week. And that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemirak. Take care.